We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another edition of Trust the Tape. Zach Wolchuk alongside the wonderful NFL Super Bowl winning draft scout, the great Brian Broaddus. Of course, we're brought to you by the deliciousness that is Boomer Jackson. The NFL draft is creeping up on us. It's a little over 2 weeks away. And if you don't have any draft plans set, we encourage you to go to your local Boomer Jacks. They've got draft beer, a wide menu, a large variety of selections, delicious burgers, wings, you name it, salads. If you want a little healthier options, they've got phenomenal grilled chicken sandwiches. Tons of options for you. Go to your local Boomer Jacks and watch the NFL draft. And, you know, we got NBA playoffs around the corner as well. Tons of amazing selections for you there at Boomer Jacks.
Yeah, Boomer Jacks is an amazing place. And you mentioned it, though, the food, the staff, everything about it is such a positive experience. So go check out our friends at Boomer Jacks. Thanks for them for having us here on the Trusted Tape.
So with the draft creeping up on us, this is the time of year where you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, what's true, what's false, where are the smoke screens, and maybe where's some buzz on some players that we weren't sure could potentially be first-rounders that might be sliding down boards, maybe some guys that we didn't think would be first-rounders that could be creeping up boards. I think one guy that now has finally started to match up where the NFL felt like he was and maybe where the media wasn't so high on him, and I think we've talked about him throughout this process quite a bit, Trayvon Walker out of Georgia.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Zach. And, I mean, the thing with Walker is when we were doing this process, and it is, it's a long, you know, the media scouts jump into it. Oh, there's some, the Dane Burglars and the Daniel Jeremiahs and guys like that, that really, Bucky Brooks, that do it really, you know, year-round. And then there's others like ourselves that jump in here in, you know, in December, January, that kind of thing, and then we get started. And the first mock drafts all talked about Trayvon Walker being a outstanding football player. But, you know, it was to the point where, like, when the Cowboys were picking at 24, that was a very, very popular spot for him.
Sure.
And now we've seen here in the last several weeks, he's gone to, oh, wait, well, he's no longer at 24. He's at 16. Oh, let's give it another week. Well, now he's in the top three. Oh, by the way, we're going to mock him one overall. You know, and you kind of wonder, you know,
nuts.
You really, really wonder. And, you know, there's workouts, there's films, there's interviews, there's all kinds of things. I wonder, though, this guy is a really good football player. But if you start talking about him over guys like Hutchinson and then also then, you know, with Thibodeau, then now I think that you're asking a lot of me, I know, as far as just watching and evaluating that tape.
The thing that's interesting with Walker is, and he is a fantastic player, and I think, you know, one of the fun battles when you look at guys that are going to be top 10 picks in this draft, him versus Evan Neal specifically.
Yeah.
But the production for Walker, and maybe this is due to just so much talent on that Georgia defense.
Yeah.
But he's a guy, if I have my stats correct without them right in front of me, I think he had 11 sacks the entirety of his Georgia career, six last year.
He did.
How do you match, you know, as a scout, looking at maybe a lack of production when it comes to the sack totals? I know sacks aren't end-all. You know, they don't tell the true story, right? Because pressures are there. And,
sure.
And you look at potential and upside when you're trying to evaluate some of these players. But when you look at a player that maybe doesn't have some of those numbers and you try and project that, well, I think here's a guy that can really, you know, get more of those numbers as he projects into the NFL.
Yeah, that's going to be the trick. And, you know, in the saying is that if you had success in college sacking quarterbacks, then you're going to have success in the NFL. I mean, it doesn't always translate that way, but, you know, you generally that's the, you know, people ask about, well, why draft a cornerback that doesn't have interceptions?
Sure.
You know, I mean, what kind of ball skills are you talking about? You're saying, oh, we're projecting this guy to be a great corner and he'll do this and that and the other. And then all of a sudden you're like going, well, he doesn't intercept passes. There's not that production there, you know. And I think the same could be said about defensive ends. And, you know, I think that there's things about Walker, and when you look at his game, the reason why, you know, I mean, he is one of those guys when Georgia would go to a nickel package, you know, they would take, say, a Jordan Davis off the field. They put Walker at nose, and then they would let him attack from the middle, and then they would rush from other spots. You know, and you're right. You could put on all the Georgia tape, and there might be players on that field that are better than Walker. Yet Walker's the one we're talking about as a top five player right now. And I don't know if it's media scouts didn't have him right or the scouts today are pumping air into him. I'm really interested in getting to me with my gang of seven. Once guys start to build their board and really get a feeling, because there were people, you know, there were scouts that were telling me, oh, you guys are clearly wrong about Johnson from Florida State, Jermaine Johnson.
Sure.
You know, who also was a Georgia transfer, by the way. You know, guys are saying, oh, you're too high on him. You're too high on him. And I'm like, okay, fine. Now I'm hearing, oh, wait, you guys had him right. You guys, you know.
Yeah,
so,
you're starting to see him not go past the top 15 of the draft.
I think that's what's going on right now, Zach, is the craziness of this draft. Is that there's really not anything that you can hang your hat on. And you want to hang your hat on, say, for example, you want to hang your hat on a Tyler Lindenbaum from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody will tell you, his arms are too short, he's too small, he's too light. But you watch his tape,
okay,
and you're like, but that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of this in this draft where it's like you're thinking, I think I'm seeing the right thing.
Right.
And like – media and others are telling you differently.
So there's two things that I thoughts that I have with this class. One is this class is deep,
yeah,
but it's not an elite class.
Not at all.
There's nobody that I really, and you talk trades, and I think you and Eric were talking about this, you know, last week when it comes to the quarterbacks. It seems like Carolina at six, it's a surefire. That's
right.
A spot where a quarterback can come off the board. And maybe the Giants at five. If they want to move back and there's a team that wants to get ahead of Carolina, that's an area where maybe there's a trade spot. And we've talked a lot here on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Maybe the Cowboys are looking to move up. Because you look at those 30 visits, and I know you guys went through in the last Trust the Tape, and you explained beautifully what those visits mean. But there wasn't a lot when it comes to second-rounders projected for the Cowboys. So it makes you wonder, are they looking to move up? But with this class, I just don't know that there's guys that you're thinking, man, I got to have this guy.
Yeah.
Because the talent, I mean, there's just nobody that you say, man, I'm in love with, that I've just got to go to have. And to your point, like a Tyler Lindenbaum is a player, well, maybe physically he doesn't check off some of the boxes, the prototype of a center. But film-wise, he's just so damn good.
Yeah,
I think you need to get out of your own way. And you just say, the player is too good. He just who cares about his arms?
Oh no!
Who cares about him being undersized?
Kobe Dean is the same way at Georgia. Now they bring in Lloyd, the Cowboys talking.
Right, right.
And again, we focus on all. I mean, that's what Trust the Tape does. We talk about if you're a fan of another team and all that. And I'll give you a little insight. I was on a Giants.com podcast, an actual physical New York Giants podcast, and I was talking with their host. And he kept grilling me about corners and offensive tackles. Corner, offensive tackle. And then it came down to, well, what about tight ends? What about? So he never mentioned one time talking about, John never mentioned one time talking about a quarterback. Everything was cornerback and offensive tackle. Okay, but if you look at the Cowboys and what they've done, and the 30 visits, I think for a reason. I really do. For the Cowboys' sake, 30 visits are important. Because of you don't have a traditional general manager. Okay, you know, Charles Cross, offensive tackle, is on that 30 visit list.
Okay.
So now you're sitting there thinking, no, wait a minute. I mean, I'm talking with Giants.com about Charles Cross and why you would play him at left tackle, you know,
maybe taking him at five.
And that's what I'm saying. They got five and seven, and they're talking about that. And yet you, the Cowboys, bring somebody. Now, I this is what
makes. And that would be the one guy that I'd move up for.
See,
because
that's
I do
me
think
too.
He's good enough.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you. I don't see moving up for any other position. Now, could they surprise us? The Cowboys have had a history in the past of being committed to giving stuff to wide receivers. Okay? And I say that in a way of multiple picks for Joey Galloway, multiple picks for Roy Williams, a pick for Amari Cooper, money for, you know, Roy Williams, money for Amari Cooper. See, to me, are the Cowboys, is that, you know, we focus on you and I and everybody that works here is talking about, oh, tackle, 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 trade for the tackle, tackle. Maybe the Cowboys are thinking about going up for a wide receiver.
Well,
because their history says they've committed funds and draft picks in the past to try and bring a receiver in here.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And the last time they picked at 24, they took Dez Bryant.
Took Dez Bryant.
And, you know, CeeDee Lamb falls into their lap.
Yeah.
They don't hesitate.
Right.
They pull the trigger and they take a CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb totally slipped my mind about using that pick. You're right.
And you look at their visits, to your point.
Yeah.
They've got some guys here, and some of these guys, you know, the Drake Londons of the world, and even a Chris Olave, you weren't really thinking, would they be there at 24?
Right.
But maybe the Cowboys are looking at moving up to go and get some of these guys.
I wonder what they're thinking about Charles Cross, the tackle from Mississippi State. Because to me, I've never seen Charles Cross fall below 10 in any mock draft. And, you know, I look at the ones, the Daniel Jeremiahs, who's plugged in with NFL scouts, a former scout himself, Bucky Brooks, former scout himself. You know, Dane Brugler has a lot of connections that I never, ever, ever saw Charles Cross getting to the Dallas Cowboys at 24. But then again, I didn't see CeeDee Lamb getting to the Cowboys at 17 that one
time. The other guy that I also think in this class that now after crushing at the pro day this past week, Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
You know, Stingley was a guy that a lot of questions, and it might be off the field, you know, how much does he love football?
Yeah.
But this is a dude that I think people are overthinking it a little bit.
I agree.
You know, if you go back his freshman year, he walks on to LSU, which is a defensive back pipeline to the NFL.
DBU, they say at times.
He's competing with arguably now a top 3 to 5 wide receiver in all of football in Jamar Chase and a top 10 wide receiver in all of football in Justin Jefferson and giving him heck one-on-one in practice.
Yeah.
And he's the top cornerback in the country for a national champion football team. Derek Stingley is going to be a stud in the NFL.
I totally, you're absolutely right about that. But I'll say this too. If you're really interested, if you're really interested in, for example, a guy like George Pickens from Georgia.
Ooh.
Watch him. If you could go back and YouTube it, whatever you have to do, go back and watch Georgia and LSU play. And this was Stingley's, you know, first year at in the national championship. But Pickens is wearing out like these corners that we're all talking about. So if you want to say Stingley like you love him, but if you really want to learn something about George Pickens, go back and watch George Pickens play.
So Pickens is one of these guys, and there's a few players that I wonder, you know, there's always every year, like Jordan Davis was one of these guys, the linebacker from Texas Tech that slipped into the first round and went to Seattle. Now, Seattle's one of those teams that makes wonky picks.
They do. My buddy John Stanner, my former intern, makes some wonky picks.
So I'm wondering, who are some of these guys that maybe could sneak into the first round that we're not talking about? Pickens? Maybe one of those guys.
Yeah.
Maybe Sky Moore, the Jeff Kavanaugh special.
Right. Yep.
Maybe one of those guys. Another couple that I want to throw at you and see what you think about. Is there some buzz brewing about, and we talked about him a few weeks ago because I had just watched him, the Penn State edge rusher, that I thought was a day two player.
Yeah.
Arnold Ibikiti.
Yeah,
is he starting to get some buzz around as a bottom first rounder?
See, that, and there's a lot of people. There's the one thing, if you do enough players in this draft, you're going to have a couple that you just struggle with. And I mean, honestly, guys, NFL scouts struggle with certain players. They do. And you could get in the room and you could talk about it. And you could say, I don't like this guy because of A, B, C, and D. And three other scouts will stand up there and say, Brian, you're wrong. Because they can do A, B, C, and D. And these Penn State, you know, I didn't have that vibe with this kid. I mean, but I didn't feel like that he could consistently capture the edge enough. But there's people talking about him and the South Carolina kid as being first-round talent.
Yeah,
and
see, I don't see what the South Carolina kid
is at
all.
I don't either.
But I like Ibikiti. I just think he's raw.
Ibikiti,
I think he has so much upside.
I mean, I'm gonna die on a couple of hills here. I could very well die on his hill, and I could die because I've not been as in love with a Zion Johnson as much as everybody else has. And so, to me, sometimes you're by yourself in a draft room and you're fighting for a player, and the only honor you have is if the room if the director goes with you on this type of player. And then if he turns out to be a great player, then they know, well, Brian, you were just, I missed him. But if this kid goes there and doesn't rush well and kind of bounces around and stuff, I won that battle.
Sure.
I didn't die on the hill, but I won that battle for next time when we're in this room and I'm like, guys, I don't feel as good about him as. But there's a lot of people that really do like this kid, and I might be dead wrong about him. I kind of thought about him as a day two selection myself.
And no, I'd feel great about him. You know, if you got him, I initially thought maybe third round.
Oh, that's where I have him.
But first round, I'm a little shocked.
Oh no,
because I think he's a project.
I am.
I do.
Yeah,
he gets me excited.
Yeah,
but I think I'm higher on him than you are. I don't like the South Carolina guy at all.
No, you are. You're much higher. There are other guys that I like. At defensive end, as opposed to having to take either the South Carolina kid or this kid.
The other name that I think, and I'm not sure if you've heard any buzz on him, but might also sneak into the first round, is Travis Jones, the defensive tackle out of UConn.
See, that was another one. When you watch Travis Jones, and let's be honest, Utah has been awful in football. Connecticut has been awful in football the last several years, and I think Travis Jones is one of those guys that's like a true one technique, and there's really nothing special, nothing dynamic when you watch him play. But then he gets in the Senior Bowl, and he's men among boys, you know, and he tests well. He's 6'4", he's 325 pounds. If you can't go and get a Jordan Davis, this is the guy.
He's the next best?
He's the next best.
Yeah.
This is the next best. Now, depending on what you think about Mathis from Alabama, I personally like Mathis better than I like Travis Jones. I like Mathis better because I feel like that as a one, he gives you a little bit more pass rush. You know?
Do you have Jordan Hall as a DT?
I still have him as a defensive tackle. Yes, I have him as a three technique. And I think,
okay, so you have him as a three tech instead of a one tech.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
See, I mean, I kind of feel like though with him. With Logan Hall,
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Jordan Hall.
Yeah, I said with Logan Hall, I knew exactly who you were talking about, though. I kind of felt like, though, that you would say that, you know, you would look at him and just kind of think, like, man, he is so tall. He is so long. You know, I thought initially that he might be a five technique defensive end. And when I say five technique defensive end in a 3-4, that's a head up on the tackle. Right down the middle of the tackle, extend, control, get off, two gap, inside, outside, get off, go find ball.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This guy is a defensive tackle at 6'6 and at 283 pounds. I think he's got some David Irving traits. And if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan listening to our podcast here, you'll understand what I'm talking about with that length and that slipperiness as a player. But, you know, again, usually you don't have really tall three techniques of those under what they call under tackles. This guy might be a 3-4 defensive end in actuality.
I like that. And then the other name that I want to throw at you is a guy that might be able to sneak into that first round. And some mocks have him in there, Quay Walker.
Yeah.
The linebacker from Georgia. And I wonder if he actually ends up getting drafted higher because size-wise, he projects to what you like.
Yeah.
You know, at 6'4 in the NFL, opposed to his running mate at Georgia, N'Kobe Dean, who some might write off because he's undersized.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Every one of these Georgia kids, you watch them play, it's super impressive. I mean, this guy does. He physically looks the part of an inside linebacker. I mean, I think that when he can attack things downhill, that's some of his best plays. When he's going straight ahead, you know, he just busts through a gap, tackle for loss, pressure, you know, those kind of things. But at 6'4", 241 pounds, I mean, that is an impressive guy. You know, his instincts, I thought were, were good. But, I mean, the rotating system, and they have to do that at Georgia. They got too many good players. They have to play in a rotating system because they just got to get everybody on the field. But, man, this is a super, super talented linebacker.
It's a good problem to have there at Georgia.
Exactly.
My gosh, they are
why you win a national championship.
Absolutely loaded. By the way, Dane Brugler's The Beast is out.
Oh, yeah.
I would highly encourage all of you draft nuts that are out there listening.
Yeah.
Go ahead and check out Dane Brugler's The Beast out there on The Athletic. It's sensational for all you draft fans out there. Okay. So, Broadus, I found a 7-round mock.
Okay.
Specifically Cowboys specific.
All right.
Because we do talk a lot of Cowboys football. And you can go ahead and hit us up at Zach Wolchuk, at Brian Broadus on Twitter. If there's anything Trust the Tape-wise you'd like us to discuss for your favorite football team as well, we're happy to do that for you. But I did like this 7-round mock for the Cowboys, and I think there's some good players we can discuss here. Let's see if you like this.
Okay.
Cowboys come away at 24 with the apple of my eye, Kenyon Green.
Okay.
I think that's the clean pick at 24. I don't think it's close with him and Zion Johnson.
Yeah, I think I have Green over Johnson on my board myself. I think there's warts with really both player. I really do. I mean, this guard class there's certain classes that you kind of feel like you have a handle on what it might be. This guard class, this is the one where I dying on a hill. This, you could say, well, take Green, take Johnson. There's people that will flop them. I'm interested to see what the Cowboys' stack's going to be. Are they going to have Johnson above Green? The Cowboys brought both players in for 30 visits. There's warts with both players. There's positives with both players. I guess you could say that about every player. But there's more warts that scare me about these guys. But Green on my board, if you told me they were taking Green over Johnson, I would be okay with that.
And I've talked to you about this, when we've talked on air here at 105 Through the Fan. For me, the reason I'm all in on Green, I love the power.
Yep.
I love the power there.
That's exactly where you're at.
He might not be as smooth as Zion Johnson, but I'm all about the power. And I think Kenyon Green, to me, is just – and I love the versatility. He's kind of like a poor man Zach Martin to me when he came out, being able to slide around the entire offensive line. And he's willing to do everything you ask him to do. Round two, pick 256 here. And this is a forgotten wide receiver in the draft. John Michie III out of Alabama.
Yeah, I have him in the bottom, actually the bottom of the second round. And I kind of, to me, that makes a lot of sense. When you look at the way he plays, and a lot of it has to do, he was a super, super productive player at Alabama. The knee injury, though, is something you're definitely going to – he tore his ACL in the SEC championship game. So now you've got him rehabbing, and you've got –
Jameson Williams.
Yeah, Jameson Williams rehabbing, but you also, for the Cowboys
– Oh, Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup is rehabbing. So I don't –
That's a good point.
To me, this is one of those things. You're going to have somebody at wide receiver come plug and play. Because you're going to miss Gallup the first 2-3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And so you better have – Mitchie, to me, makes a lot of sense in that mock. If he was healthy, that, to me, would be one of those picks. I've got him in the bottom of the second round. But I've got to have somebody I feel like that's ready to go from the jump.
I do think somebody's going to get a steal with that.
Oh, absolutely
in the second
right.
round.
Yeah, he's a Canadian kid. He's very good in short and tight area player. He's quick, when the ball's coming his direction, he's going to catch it, he's going to fight. You watch what he did in the Auburn game, and that game that Alabama absolutely had to have to get into the playoffs. He did a great job in playing in that football game.
David Bell out of Purdue, that wide receiver is another one that seems like he's starting to generate a lot of buzz as a fringe second rounder.
Well, the speed. And they made him run outside at Purdue at West Lafayette. It was 30-some-odd degrees. He didn't run particularly fast at the combine. He's a 4.5 guy, and he ran the 4.5s at his pro day in West Lafayette, Indiana there. But, man, you talk about the routes. He does not fight catching the ball at all. It's a very, very natural catcher. When you watch him, though, and it's clear, Iowa in the Notre Dame game, his extended speed is his only flaw, the lack of it. And that's something you clearly see on tape.
I also like Christian Watson quite a bit out of North Dakota State. I don't know if he's going to be there in round two.
Yeah, you know, what's funny about Christian Watson is, like, the kid's from Tampa, Florida, and you're kind of like going, okay, where is Florida State? Where is North Carolina State? Where is Mississippi State? Where is Ole Miss? Where is somebody? Tennessee? Somebody? Where is somebody? You know, that was a clear miss. I mean, this kid's father played the NFL, Tim Watson. I scouted him. You know, he played from 93 to 96, I want to say. But, man, I mean, you wonder how. How did this kid end up in North Dakota being from Tampa, Florida? Clear miss by SEC schools. Clear miss by ACC schools.
He's just one of those guys, you watch him, he just always seems like he's open.
Always open.
He's always open.
It's one of those things, too, with sometimes, and North Dakota State plays tremendous football. They make their home here in Frisco every year at the national championship game. But you wonder, like, the level of competition.
Sure. You know, it's a fair question.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's sometimes you're thinking, okay, he's playing against a guy that's going to be an accountant. He's playing against a guy that's going to be a rancher.
Right.
He's playing against a dairy farmer, whatever. You know, that's what he's dealing with.
This seems like a Cowboy special, and maybe it's too good to be true, and some other team's going to come over here and say, hey, we love this guy as well. But round three, pick 88, Sam Williams, the edge rusher at Ole Miss.
Okay, this is a fascinating one, and I think there's a lot of momentum for Sam Williams. I personally think that the Cowboys, I think at 56, are going to take Sam Williams.
So just to not risk losing out on
him? I don't think. The fact there is a lot of background between the defensive coordinator at Mississippi and Dan Quinn.
Okay.
And so he knows all about Sam Williams. Okay, there's some off-the-field stuff you have to learn about Sam Williams. I think the Cowboys are comfortable with that. Quinn goes and runs the workout. I don't think the Cowboys are probably looking at Sam Williams as, we're not going to be able to get him at 88. We're just not going to be able to get him eight. So they're going to have to hit it at 56.
And I think you're right. I think 88's probably too good to be true.
He's
a name that seems like a high riser.
If he makes it to 88, it's because the people aren't comfortable with what happened off the field.
Okay, yeah. And then round four, and you know, I think 88 might be the tight end spot.
The Cowboys might
be circling because they seem like they have their eye on tight end.
Yeah, sure do.
Now, this mock has the Cowboys going tight end with their fourth round pick, 129, and they're going with the guy out of Maryland that I don't want to embarrass myself trying to say his name. I'll go with it. Chigozie Okonkwo.
Mm-hmm.
How did I do?
I think you did good.
Did all right?
I think you did good because I wouldn't have attempted it the way you just did.
Now, I'm an Isaiah Likely guy.
Yeah,
if I could pick any tight end in this draft, that would be my guy, but I don't think there's any way that he makes it to round four.
You know, I think to me, there's several of these tight ends that you got to – I mean, me personally, I'm a big fan of a guy named Cole Turner, and I understand the Maryland kid's a heck of a football player. He really, really – but – the thing about it is, when you look at, to me, I kind of have my eye on a guy named Cole Turner from Nevada.
Okay.
6'7", 249 pounds. You know, he's another one of these tight ends. Even maybe how about even, you know, him, Kohler from Iowa State.
I like Kohler.
Was another mention there.
And then Cade Otton.
Cade Otton.
That's the Washington guy, right?
Cade Otton's he's one of my top guys. But that's what I'm saying. I think there's a little bit deeper, a deeper thing. And I mentioned a guy like, if you think that Otton and all those other guys are going to be gone, Cole Turner, to me, is a guy I'd rather have over the Maryland guy. Again, 6'7", physical size. Working down the field. A lot of these tight ends at 6'7", when defensive backs are trying, or linebackers are trying to knock the ball down, they're extending. They're already, you know, people are slapping their wrists, their forearms. They're not getting to that ball just because of the extension.
Slew of fifth-round picks here for the Cowboys in this mock. So round five, pick 155, Kellen Deach, the offensive tackle out of Arizona State.
Yeah, a lot of people really, really like him.
Yes.
I'm not as high on him as others are. I think I could probably do a little bit better there.
I'm a little iffy.
Yeah.
But now, if you get wiped out and for whatever reason you'll come away with a tackle,
right,
might not be a bad day three option for you.
Right, right.
But that's a project.
Yeah, there's a big-time project right there.
And then Sincere McCormick, the running back out of UTSA, had him in studio, got to have him on our show, the Nosebleed
great,
Seats.
Great kid.
Yeah. Awesome individual.
Yeah.
Very energetic, engaging, broke all kind of records there at UTSA.
Yep.
And
offense down there, too, if you
no
watch
doubt.
The way they do things.
And he's, I think he's a three-down back for you. Now, maybe pass protection, that might be something he needs to work on, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yep, you got him right.
He envisions there as well. Now, not an individual I've gotten to watch yet. I don't know if you have Mike Rose, linebacker out of Iowa State.
I have not seen him play.
He's a guy that was mocked there. And then Thomas Booker, the defensive lineman out of Stanford. And we'll wrap up with Damarian Williams in the sixth round, the cornerback out of Houston.
Yeah.
Houston's pumping out a lot of good defensive
Houston's
backs.
Houston's pumping out. If you really, really want a good player, a really good young short player, in fact, is our guy Marcus Jones, the kid, the cornerback.
Yes.
He's a short daddy, and he's a hell of a returner. He's around the ball all the time. He knocks balls down. For a short player, he's really, really good.
You know, the one, before we wrap up here, the one name that I want to throw at you that I've seen also thrown in the first round and also mocked to the Cowboys a lot is we've talked about the tackle depth in this class, Tyler Smith out of Tulsa.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of problems with him.
Okay, I'm glad that I'm not alone.
And
in that.
You know, and a lot of people have talked about Tyler Smith being a guy that is going to be a guy that could have been a first round guy. I don't see that. I really, really don't. I would be surprised. I know that all the media scouts are talking about him. I just don't think he has really good tech. He's a huge guy, by the way. He's 6'5", 324. He just doesn't have really good technique as a blocker. He's more likely to try and bully his defender than he really is, get his feet and his hands to kind of work together. I thought he caught blocks more than anything than that strike and the punch. He let the defender get really close to him, and then he kind of grabs him and throws him to the ground. He had, in two games I watched, he had three holding calls.
Mm.
You know, and he
seems like a reacher.
Yeah,
reacher and grabber.
Bad body position, bad blocker. He just tries to use his power, and I'm going to let somebody else be a hero on that.
I'm with
one.
You. Maybe he's a Colton Miller type guy.
A lineman, it's generally because they lack power.
Sure,
and there's several in this draft that do lack power. And, I I'll give you an example. Ryman from Central Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are having him mocked to Dallas at 24. That's a converted tight end. Probably doesn't have a whole lot of power right now. But you know what? He's a good football player. But I've been really, 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 really wrong about these some of these guys that don't have enough strength that are playing in the and then I I'm just looking at my board, Zach Tom from Wake Forest,
mm-hmm.
another guy Max Mitchell from Louisiana. These guys don't have great power, but then they end up being like all pros because I'm always looking for the bigger, stronger guy.
Right, I am too as well. I'm a power guy.
Yeah.
Brought us your mention of Scholar, my friend.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Another edition of Trust the Tape. Again, encourage you to go shout out and look for our friends at Boomer Jacks for all your draft day needs, all your just individual sports watching needs. They got you there at Boomer Jacks. Go grab yourself a nice beverage and a delicious meal at Boomer Jacks. The draft creeping up on us a little over 2 weeks away. We will catch up with you again next week on Trust the Tape. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.